when we look at the certificate of origin services, there is a very vast list. GSP, GSTP, that is generalized scheme of system of preferences, generalized system of trade preferences, that is SAARC preferential trading agreement, Sri Lanka, Indo-Sri Lanka free trade agreement, India-Thailand free trade agreement, India-Afghanistan preferential trading, India-Chile trade agreement, APTA, SAFTA, Singapore CECA, India-Mercosur PTA preferential trade agreement, India-Korea CEPA, India-ASEAN agreements, India-Malaysia CECA, India-Japan CEPA. These are all preferential trade agreements where there is a requirement of a truthful certificate of origin, so that the preferential treatment is given to the concerned product, a concessional rate of duty is applied. EIC certification, various international agencies have appointed EIC and recognized their certification. Basmati rice, the European Commission certificate of authenticity, black pepper, fish and fishery product, fish and fishery products of Australia, especially quarantine and inspection services. Then 85 commodities including milk are placed under the EIC compulsory inspection for certification. Frozen marine products, especially in relation to Korea Food and Drug Administration. Food products and food packaging materials, poultry meat and its products, Japan Health Authorities, Iron Ore and General Administration of Quality Supervision, Inspection and Quarantine by China, Egg, Packaged Water, etc. of Singapore, Fishery and Aquaculture Products by Italy, Memorandum between the Russian Federation Organization for Food and Biological Safety of Fish and Fish Products, and recognition of EIC certification by Government of Thailand. These are all international certifications which are recognized for usage of Export Inspection Agency as the certifying authority in India. Next, we go to one of the largest export promotion organization in India. That is the Federation of Indian Export Organizations, or FIO for short. The Federation of Indian Export Organizations represents the Indian entrepreneur spirit of enterprise in the global market. They have kept pace with countries' evolving economics and trade policies and provided content, direction and thrust to India's expanding international trade. It is basically the apex body of all other Indian export promotion organizations, as also a partner to the government of India to promote Indian exports. It expresses all the dynamism and resurgence that are the hallmark of India's open, liberal and progressively market-friendly economic and trade regime. This is our hallmark. Membership. FIO membership largely comprises of professionals, exporting firms of long experience. They are normally called government-recognized export houses, trading houses, star trading houses, superstar trading houses, consultancy export firms. These trading houses are large export houses, those who have got export turnovers in hundreds and thousands of crores of rupees per year. And it represents directly or indirectly over more than 1 lakh exporters across India. It's got such a large membership. What are the main activities? Exports by FIO members are gem and jewelry, textile, garments, engineering goods, leather and leather products, handicrafts, chemicals and allied products, cosmetics, drug and pharmaceuticals, etc. Other activities are consultant service in infrastructure, in engineering, in cement, leather, paper and paperboard, rubber industries, agro-based industries, small-scale industries, etc. In all these industries, the FIO members provide consultancy service. FIO doesn't provide the consultancy service, but FIO members provide these services. What are the services that FIO Federation provides to their members? Of course, the organization is meant to provide a certain level of services to their members. Federation keeps its members posted with the latest developments in the field of export-import by organizing seminars and workshops, inviting foreign delegations, organization of trade fairs, having buyer-seller meet in India and abroad, providing advisory and consultancy services to exporters, evolving a suitable action plan to promote Indian exports. That is the basic objective, to promote Indian exports. Then formulation and dissemination of government policies. And of course, a lot of problems do arise for the members. So, suggesting remedial measures. For these services, FIO has got many other departments. They have total quality management, that is TQM department, information center, EDI and EDP departments, market development assistance department. Here, certain exporters are given incentives by FIO to develop their market. Exim policy, customs and GST departments, market research and development department, and banking and direct taxes division. All these departments advise the exporters on the various aspects. Apart from FIO, we have got a number of export promotion organizations in India, and these organizations are established as a part of export promotion measures of the Ministry of Commerce. They include export promotion councils, commodity boards, export development authorities. Mind you, these are all commodity based export promotion councils. They are non-profit organization, primarily responsible for developing and promoting export industry in India. Their work is very much similar to FIO. FIO is the main umbrella. Whatever activities FIO takes, does for their members, all those activities are also being done by the other export promotion organizations for the respective commodities. And here, small exporters. In FIO, we have got large exporters. But here, we have got small exporters or individual commodity exporters they become members of these export promotion organizations. They give individual products and service category organization being specialized in its category. They give you specialized information and guidance. We have a whole list of the export promotion organizations. I want you to pause and read this list. Even their names are clearly showing the products which are being handled in the respective export promotion organizations. And those exporters who are connected with the respective commodities for export, they will get themselves registered with these export promotion councils, and they get all help and guidance individually. Yes, further list also. You don't need to remember all this, but when you select your product for export, as and when you decide to export, you want to develop a product which you want to export, then you approach this organization which is relevant to your product. You will find you will get a lot of help and guidance from them right from the very beginning. Even before becoming a member, you will get the right kind of guidance. Look at the vast number of organizations, 32 organizations in India. Apart from these export promotion organizations, our Indian embassies in foreign countries, they also provide export promotion, or more than export promotion, they provide trade promotion, that is both for import and export. Now they provide general market information as well as specific information on products and companies and statistics. They facilitate contacts and meetings with importers, exporters, trade and industry associations and government authorities in the respective countries. They give you guidance about business practice and strategies in their respective countries where the embassies are situated. They have got large libraries of the missions which have catalogs and directories, etc. And some of the larger embassies also have got business centers where you can directly go to the embassy and they'll guide you, connect you to the local business people who are interested in doing export-import business with you. Certain missions have also published business guides and market survey for specific products. And some of the missions also help you in hotel bookings, engaging of interpreters, etc. if you have a difficulty in understanding the local language. As I told you before, Exim Bank is basically a credit insurance agency, but they also have an export advisory service group, and this group offers a wide range of information, advisory and support services to exporters to evaluate international risks, exploit export opportunities and improve competitiveness. They give you value-added information and support services, especially for project exports and other projects funded by the World Bank. This is a very vast business, handling projects, large projects in foreign countries and in India, funded by World Bank, which is treated as exports. The group also undertakes customized research on behalf of companies, establishing market potential, defining marketing arrangements, specifying market distribution channels, developing export market entry plans when you want to enter into the market, facilitating accomplishments of international quality certification, display of your products in trade fairs. If you can't personally go, you can ask Exim Bank to display your products in trade fairs and exhibitions. They also provide you with a range of information, advisory and support services, which complement the financing programs. Of course, these services are provided on a fee basis, both to Indian companies and overseas entities. They charge a fees for their services. And such services include market-related information, sector and feasibility studies, technological supplier identification, partner search, investment facilitation, and development of joint ventures both in India and abroad. That is when you want to get into the higher level of exports and imports. You will need these services, and that is where Exim Bank comes to your aid. Of course, you have got to pay their fees. A list of importers, exporters across different industries and sectors are provided to Indian firms active in international trade. They have got a very big list. This is a very recent Trade Promotion Council of India, and it is an apex trade and investment promotion organizations. Mainly their duty is to guide you on investment opportunities. It is recognized and supported by Department of Commerce, Government of India, for providing policy suggestions which are essentially based on inputs collated from research and industry stakeholders. They also provide strategies for expanding business internationally by organizing specialized business events and simultaneously working with the government. They create a global platform for the industry by organizing seminars, trade shows, etc., 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 to accelerate our global trade. What is the scope of services? Their services include advanced trade research, that is supporting India's trade policy and economic diplomacy through research. Mind you, export or international trade is not an easy cup of tea or coffee or cake, whatever you want to call it. You need a very high level of research to be successful. So, advanced trade research when you want to expand. Then trade promotion, they will explore international trade opportunities in untapped market, going to new markets, promoting new exporters. They give you trade facilitation in identifying bottlenecks and bridging the gap between industry and authority by continuous interactions. And finally, investment promotion, exploring the scope and facilitating investment in potential industry and sectors. We have an Institute of Foreign Trade, IIFT. This is situated in Gwalior. It is an institute for training of all foreign trade requirements. But it has developed as a center for WTO studies in India. World Trade Organization has got a vast scope of studies, and IIFT has become a main center in India for WTO studies. Various departments draw plans to nominate their officers for training regarding WTO consistent fiscal incentives and export promotion by states. So they sent the officers to WTO, but before that, they have got to go to IIFT, get first stage training, and then they are selected to WTO for further training. They also provide courses on trade policy and negotiations, dispute settlement trips, etc. They also have a biannual induction program at the institute. It basically encourages the officers, especially government officers, to attend higher level specialized training programs at the WTO. They are also advisors. Board of Trade under the Foreign Trade Policy, Export Promotion Board, etc., who are stakeholders over here, are in regular consultations on stakeholders to be sensitized on WTO rules and case laws, on anti-dumping duties, non-tariff barriers through seminars and courses to be conducted by export promotion councils. Anti-dumping duty and non-tariff barriers, I'll explain to you when we go to the regulatory functions of import and export. Government departments have got to be sensitized about investments in setting up infrastructure for certification of our exports and imports to meet world level benchmarks, especially in sanitary and phytosanitary health standards, so as to overcome the trade barriers which are coming. Existing stakeholders, consultation mechanisms like Interstate Trade Council, Board of Trade, Export Promotion Boards, etc., would be used effectively to implement the strategic plan and sort out interstakeholder issues on a timely manner and to facilitate their efforts towards export promotion. Mind you, more than giving service to you as exporter-importer, they give facilities to the government departments to sensitize the government department, one, from WTO rules by guiding them, training them on WTO rules, and two, to sensitize them when they are in contact with you as exporters, importers, and what are your problems, difficulties, etc. They should be sensitized for this. And that is what IIFT does. Stakeholders' views. The stakeholders have got their own views which they present to the government from time to time. And mind you, these views are all the views expressed by many large importers and exporters, where infrastructure poses a very important constraint for export and import. Transaction costs need to be substantially reduced. Implementation of robust contract labor policy is needed. Our labor policy will not help us, is a hindrance to the exporters and importers. There has got to be a substantial investment in R&D requirements in various sectors. Then fiscal incentives required for export-oriented research and development investments. Then technology upgradation importance to be provided to various sectors. Showing shortages of skilled personnel manpower concerns in many sectors, in spite of the population dividend. And of course, import duty increase or decrease. Mainly they say it has got to be reduced on certain sectors, especially for export production. Thank you friends.